Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting FilmSack. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/FilmSack and start living a better life today.
I just. Yeah, come on. Time to make the world a better place to live in.
We are carried transmissions.
This is FilmSack. Oh, sure. And welcome to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind since 2009. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. When are you going to show the effing monster Dunaway?
Right now. Look at it. Oh, hi. One sec. I just need to query the computer something real quick before we decompress this week's movie. All right, let's see. Request procedure. All right, sorry, guys. I'm a bit of a hunting pecker, so this may take more than a second. Request procedure to secure abandoned late 1980s era science fiction horror film set in the dark, inky depths of the sea, of which there are more than three. And enter. Okay. Computer needs more input. Define abandoned. Oh, good. It's multiple choice. A, abandoned for repair or rewind. Mm-hmm. B, abandoned to natural forces and the closure of all Blockbuster videos. Oh, now I'm sad. Or C, abandoned to aggressive nipple shirting. Yes. Listen, here is a total random question for you guys. This movie that we watched this week, would you say it was more of a natural force or more like an aggressive nipple shirt type thing?
The latter.
We have to be specific. The computer wants to know. The computer wants to know, not me. Look, I'm just checking, okay? Jeez, excuse my asshole all the way to hell. Also, knee and nipples peoples. Hey, Evan, I left you something in your video machine. Are we talking 1970s TV series BJ and the Bear? Yes. In a word, beefy. Is it hot? Oh, it is not hot. Is it wet? Yeah, but don't get it wet. Hey, Randy, be kind. Rewind.
Wow. You didn't lose a step after a week off there, Brian.
No, I practice in the off season.
Yeah, well done. It's very, very good.
Gotta stay sharp.
Yeah. Well, all right, well done. Also with us, Randy, this underwater alien-like is nothing like Alien Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Hi. And Randy. Thank you all for coming to this training course for new hires. And congratulations on starting your career as an exotic depth worker. Each one of you was literally the only applicant we got for your position. So that must say something about this job or maybe our hiring practices. Let's not think about that too much. You are about to embark on something that's more adventure than job, especially if your idea of an adventure is reading the same magazine a couple dozen times in a row. No, I do not know why we don't provide lots of varied reading material, and I will not be taking any more questions at this time. Your new hires are all the same, wanting to know how things work before you get started. Now shut up and figure it out as you go. We've provided a woman-to-man ratio that we think will cause the least amount of sexual strife.
Yeah.
And in addition to the dangers of the ocean itself, we've got a bunch of bombs and a mad Englishman with an authoritarian streak waiting for you down there. Everything's going to be fine.
Shark, look out for the shark.
Hated that guy. The English guy drove me up a tree.
Oh, God. Did you like anybody in this movie?
No.
It was hard. It was hard.
It was, yeah. I was rooting for the alien at one point.
Right. Yeah.
It won't so I would say it was Everhard.
Yeah, it was Everhard.
Ah,
yeah.
Everhard.
Nicely done. Yes. Finally, Brian, half a Lloyd Braun is better than nothing, I guess, Ibbot.
Serenity now! That guy, but before I even start, that guy it just perennially plays characters that can't tell the difference between smarm and charm.
Nope.
Just
forever. It's built into him. I think his IMDb photo still is that. I think that's him smiling in a way that tells me he still doesn't know. I think it's just him, but anyway, go ahead.
All right, on to my intro. Ah, another morning on Deep Star 6. What's for breakfast? Yeah, I know. I was hired to pin down all the furniture. I'll get to that today, but listen, I thought this was going to be an exciting job, and what it's turned out to be isn't man versus nature or man versus monster. It's just man versus leaks. So many leaks. Oh, hey, Snyder, you going to finish that breakfast? Just kidding. Are you just grouchy because you're the only one on this rig that isn't paired up with somebody? All right. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Yakov Smirnoff, I'll go pin down all the furniture. Fine, get off my back. Because in Soviet Russia, furniture pin you down, right? Anyway, I left something for you in your cabin. Is it hot? Yeah. Is it wet? Yeah. Is it smooth? Yeah. And is it ripe? Yeah. You'll want to find a plunger to help flush it down.
The Russian guy. He's the. I have clips later of him, but he's the give me rent guy from Spider-Man 3. He's the one that
he was the Yakov Smirnoff of this, and then there was the Tim Conway character down there. He was interesting.
It was kind of weird how there was so many poor man's Tim Conway and poor man's this and that.
Right. Everything's a poor man something in this movie. There's nobody really in this where you're like, oh, here's our big star of the era.
What's the name of the one black guy in Alien?
Napone. Yeah, that guy. I don't know his real name, but that's basically this dude. In fact, for a hot second, Randy, I thought Tareen Black Q.
His name is Tareen Black.
We're just going to. Yafakoto is who you're thinking about for Alien.
No, I'm thinking of the Aliens. What's his name? Played Napone.
Gotcha. In Aliens.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, I thought, oh, here's that guy again. I'm like, sweet, he's back. And then.
He'll always be Detective Neil Washington to me.
Oh, is he from something? I should know him. What's he from? What's that from?
Hill Street Blues. The original cop drama from my generation.
Yeah.
I'd argue that Miguel Ferrer is probably the most recognizable person in this thing.
Yeah.
Just because of the character.
No, for me, it's 100% Ferris Bueller's mom, and it's because I saw Ferris Bueller's Day Off like 45 times over the years.
Oh my God, that was Ferris Bueller's mom. Could not place who she was.
Yeah, she is. You're right. Now I'm looking at it. I didn't know either.
Cindy Pickett, who I think played Cindy Bueller. I think her character name was Cindy Bueller, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And totally underused too, in my opinion. I think she would go. She was the most angriest of all.
She also seemed like the best actor, maybe possibly. She seemed like she was.
I would give that. Yeah. I thought the women in this movie were so much better at acting than the men for some reason.
I don't know, man. BJ without the bear. I thought McBride was. I thought Greg Evigan did pretty good. I thought he made me feel. This movie, he made me feel in this
did
movie.
He made me feel like I was watching a dude who got sucked out of a Hallmark Christmas movie and stuffed in here.
He played flat until he got against the captain, and then it's like their chemistry on screen was the best. Mm. Maybe it's because they were both TV actors. Yeah. I don't know. Their chemistry was the best.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I just feel like for my money, he was like. Right out of the original series of Star Trek. He was like Space Cad of the Week.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Totally. It's somebody Space that Cad. Troy kind of falls for, and he's like visiting from another thing. And there's definitely that vibe going on.
Which is our Matt McCoy, basically.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, don't forget. I mean, we'll get to it.
Literally that character that he played, Troy falls in love with him for a week.
Yeah, he was a creeper, though.
I liked Matt McCoy until I saw this movie. And I was like, oh, my God, I don't like Matt McCoy.
I like Matt McCoy as Lloyd Braun. on Seinfeld, and that's it. Like any other time I see him, that's all I see. So on the one hand, I like him as Lloyd Braun. On the other hand, that's just who he's become now, and I can't see him as anybody else. So even something I see like this that's older than that Seinfeld episode or episodes he was in, it really throws me. I just can't kind of can't stand
it. Hey, don't forget, he was in Your Hand That Rocks the Cradle. He's the one who gets up to get something from the fridge in the middle of the night.
Right. And don't forget, he was Billy Boy Bodine in The Love Boat, Ibbot. Yeah, you loved that, right?
Mm-hmm. Was he? Oh, that one episode of
one episode of The Love Boat.
Great.
Billy Boy Bodine, really?
He must have been young.
Yeah.
Some kind of
that's fantastic.
Dude. So, yeah, he's all these people have aged in a way that I wasn't expecting. I didn't expect Matt McCoy to look like my grandfather, but here we are. He's just that same guy in everything. Even on Star Trek, where he was like the creepy, kind of pervy.
Beta Zed, wasn't he?
Well, he was like, he kept sneaking into Troy's brain at night and like rubbing her boobs or whatever. I don't remember what happened.
All right, I'm just forget our Star Trek connections later. We can just skip that.
Yeah, as well.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
Were you going to bring up the rubbing the boobs thing, Randy?
It was some weird thing.
I just wrote that all out, scratching it.
It was some weird thing about that. And I don't remember. He was pervy or something. It was like,
I thought he was another empath. And so he.
Yeah.
He was doing, there was some, I mean, you're right. I mean, I think aside from the rubbing Troy's boobs part, I think there was some sort of.
I must have matured somewhere along the way, because I used to find Matt McCoy's characters that he played charming. And this time around, I just found them like just aggressively abrasive. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Get out of here, Matt McCoy. Yeah, just go get chomped in half.
Yeah, I felt like when he's making out with Nia Peoples in the shower, I went, oh, poor Nia Peoples. I feel bad.
Yeah, that poor Nia Peoples.
That shower scene came out of nowhere in this movie.
Yes. Like, and it was never referenced again. Like their relationship was just for a brief hot moment of shower.
All neck up too, by the way.
So go ahead. The movie starts with us seeing an ongoing relationship, right? Like these two people are sleeping together. There is there's no doubt. You're supposed to see this as sort of a progressive work environment where it's some people are coupled up. Okay, that's fine. But then we go out of our way to establish the other two women floating around as not doing that. So there's this one woman, she's in a relationship with her boyfriend. They sleep together in a cot. That doesn't work, by the way, in real life.
No, it does not.
But then the other two women are like, they have jobs, you know, like one of them's like the captain, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, so then when Nia Peoples runs out of water, I actually thought, how funny would it be if one of these horny guys comes in the shower, gives her water, and then he does.
Right.
Yeah. All I can think of was like,
now he doesn't get a shower other than the over the clothes shower.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like the weird thing about that shower was this moment to try, it's not levity or humor really, but it's to say, oh, I'm out of water. I'm like, this whole movie is going to be nothing but water in 5 minutes. Like,
I was going to say, you're right. All you need to do is find one of the 3,000 leaks in Deep Star 6. And take a shower there.
Oh, thank you for saying Deep Star 6, by the way. Thank you for saying the name of the ship, because the movie's also called Deep Star 6, and we haven't said it yet. So Deep Star 6 is our movie, everybody. 1989's 1/6 of Deep
Sea. How could you get confused? I mean, we're talking about a late 80s movie about underwater sea monsters. I mean, there's no way you wouldn't know what we're talking about.
No, it's not The Abyss or the others. I can't think of.
Leviathan, which would have been better.
Yeah. Oh, I've never seen Leviathan. We really ought to get that.
Oh, that is. Yeah. That, to me, it's like the Abyss, Leviathan, and then if you force me to pick a third, it'll be this one.
Oh, Deep Star 6 is your third. What about those other three or whatever they are?
There's Corman, I forget what it's called, Unto the Deep or something weird, and then the other couple of ones are so small and insignificant, I doubt it ever.
Here, I have the list. Okay, 1/6 that year. They include The Abyss, Leviathan, Deep Star 6, The Elbow, The Elbow, The Evil Below.
That's the one with Corman, I think.
Okay. And then Corman. The Rift, and then Lords of the Deep.
Lords of the Deep.
I feel like if it weren't for 1992 HBO, nobody would have seen most of these.
True story. Yeah. True story. I remember videotape. It was videotape for me from Blockbuster. That was my references.
Were they all kept in a section? No, late 80s underwater.
Yeah, it was like a hashtag section. Yeah, exactly. You had like horror and then
Yeah. Well, that Deep Star 6 thing, which now I know is Lloyd Braun's half body hanging in the suit. I didn't know that all these years, but yeah. I remember that cover a million times over, walking through the store and going, oh, there it is.
Wasn't the special effects team or the one of the makeup teams or something from Aliens the ones who did this one? If I remember my trivia correctly, it's been about a week since I read it.
Some of that stuff was all right. Mm. I thought the gore and the gorier bits were all right. They came off.
I thought the half suit of him being cut in half kind of come to, that was really good, but not enough setup and not long enough. And also, Nia Peoples is really freaking out because she's like, oh, that's the best part of Matt McCoy. And now I'm sad.
Oh, man.
Now he only needs half a shower.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And he's a little bit of a chick in the bucket because once you know he's in half, and I know he's dead. I just felt like there was more story there to tell.
Right. We've seen people get severed in half and survive for a couple of minutes. We needed a minute of him looking, going, oh, it's not good.
Oh, you okay?
Yeah. I sold another computer, Mr. Costanza. Ding. That's what I want. It's a weird one, you guys. D-Star 6 does not hold a candle, in my opinion, to The Abyss. I think The Abyss is still of that year and maybe of all deep sea sort of. These things, you know, even from many years, I think it's still maybe the best. I don't know. Yeah. Like, am I missing
this
anything?
This had a TV mentality.
It totally did.
Yeah.
And it's maybe because the TV actors, I'm not sure, but they didn't do a lot of setups. Like, you know, okay, so this is a perfect example for me. Like Aliens, when Ripley is going to later on take on the Queen, spoiler, with the big mechanical mech that she's using, they establish early on in the movie what it is, how it works, and we've seen it, and all this stuff's great.
Yeah.
In this one, there's a scene of chaos where they're trying to quickly save the ship after dumbass Snyder follows procedure. And so they had this big giant jack thing, and they're just running around pulling ropes and spinning wheels and everything. And it's like, this makes no sense. It's totally disconnected. When you have a cool prop like that big old giant jack, you establish it earlier on in the film so that you can look forward to it.
Yeah.
And they just didn't. They didn't have that attention to detail.
Yeah. They also took a long time to get there, man. Like a long time.
They really did.
Way too long. Even give us like just a taste of it early on. Even if the crew doesn't realize it yet, give us a tail or something going by the outside of the ship to just let us know that there's something going, because there was no suspense to that at all.
And I was fine with Hodges and poor man's Dorf on Golf, whatever his name is.
Tim Conway. Yeah,
I was fine with them getting murdered because they both annoyed me, and I knew they were. I knew they were red shirts in this thing, but even then, it was just
Amish beard.
Yeah, it's like, how many times are you gonna have an off-screen murder that, you know, or not murder, but you know, an action kill that I can't see? And I feel like they pushed that way too many times. So by the time the monster finally came out, I'm like, oh, it's just a big worm. What are we doing? All right, this is lame. Now,
the monster design was actually pretty cool because they theorize, at least the people who have watched this film and care to theorize, that it was, you know, it is a real true, you know, ancient creature, crustacean. But that's just saying, I'm just saying that is like
they could have asked any biology student and they would have told you that, you know, things with exoskeletons can only get so big and they wouldn't be at great depth. Well,
they're as big as humans, right? They're a little bit bigger, 6 foot long is how big they can get.
Like exoskeleton kind of tops out at about 10 feet. And that's crazy big in the history of animals.
Right. But that animal, that's about how big this one was portrayed in the film, right? I mean, maybe 15.
It's like an elephant. Maybe. It reminded me of an elephant or something about that size.
Right.
Like a big packet of
rhinoceros.
I feel for the filmmakers because, and by that I mean this one guy, Sean Cunningham, because it's like he's both director and producer. But I feel for this guy because, like, he can't possibly get it all right, right? Like, there's too many details. There's too much science that works against him, right? Like, is he going to make yet another squid movie? Jeez. We've seen the deep sea squid enough. Like, we're not interested in that, right? So he has to come up with something new. and then it doesn't make sense, right? He, like, this movie is, it doesn't understand how anything works. It doesn't understand how pressure works. It doesn't understand how explosions work. Mm. Like, what is he going to do? Is he going to just the same thing that they've always done?
Right. He, the previous one he worked on, he was the producer and director of the original Friday the 13th. And the furthest depth he had to make was with the lake, right? So, I mean, he was out of his water.
I'm sorry. He's the director of the original Friday the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's I don't know if that disappoints me or what that does to me.
Right.
I think it might disappoint me.
Neither. If you've ever seen the original Friday the 13th and then you see Deep Star 6, you go, yeah, I can see it.
Mm.
I can see it. Yeah.
This
movie was kind of rushed because they knew, the writer knew, what was going on. He knew that there was a slew of underwater horror films on the way. They were trying to be the first out the gate.
Mm-hmm. And right. by the way, this is the last thing he freaking did until 2001. So 89, he D-Star 6, and then he stops. Yeah. And then there's something called XCU, Extreme Close-Up, in 2001, and then a few things since, but nothing really big, all shorts and a little documentary. Yeah. And I don't know if this thing just wrecked him. Or what? If it's like,
damn near killed him.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think Sean Cunningham is fine. Like, he, for having grown up with parents Marion and Howard and his little brother Richie, like, he turned out to be a pretty good filmmaker.
and his disappeared brother Chuck.
Yeah. Don't forget Chuck.
Like, it's the movie. Like, the movie, you can see everything that you need to see. Right? It's like a really good shot. It's hard to shoot inside these little tight spaces and give people the right feeling, and it comes across really good. Like, it's just the content, you know, the script and how are you going to pace this that it, you know, it's any different than everything we're comparing it to. Like, it, people kept saying it's an Alien ripoff. It's not an Alien ripoff. It's just a self-own, you know, like, every, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, I mean, it's attempting to, I feel like all of these movies, The Abyss included, we're all trying to like climb into the Alien type and say, isolation, we can't go anywhere, we're trapped down here. For whatever reason, underwater stuff got under everybody's skin in 89. I don't know why. It's a weird thing.
I forget that people don't, you know, they think of Alien as an entirely original idea, but it's just bits and pieces of several other movies
that were already out there.
So, yeah. I mean,
You know, it's I think the things they're trying to tap into is just like, all right, we're isolated. We're in the middle of nowhere. This thing's going to pick us off one by one. That's the pattern. That's the template, you know?
And then, he's going to pick us off one by one, but it's like that Aquaman thing. It's like Aquaman's only got power in the sea. Just don't go in the sea.
Right.
Or in this case, just don't leave the facilities.
It's going to pick us off one by one if we go out in the water.
Right.
Yeah,
if
exactly.
we do something stupid like open the door, come on in.
But do you think, I mean, what I'm getting at is I'm trying to understand why 89 decided to have six of these, whereas sometimes we'll have, you know, Deep Impact and Armageddon. You're like, okay, two movies about giant asteroids destroying Earth. I get it. But sometimes a two off, that makes sense. But when's the last time or ever that we've had six similarly themed movies hit theaters the same year?
I'll guarantee you there was a year about 10 years ago, I haven't looked this up, where there were at least six zombie movies. Like,
I feel like vampire movies for a while.
Yeah,
that's true.
I feel like what happened was Cameron was on the cusp or was already there, would be in this breakout star. And I think when they found out that he was doing it, the rest of the lower level people in Hollywood were like, oh, we got to get on this. We got to get in on this. And I think just the buzz, I think it excited people.
Could be.
Hollywood.
I mean, he's coming Terminator, I guess. Terminator was his big thing right then. Yeah.
The Michael Crichton book Sphere came out in 1987. That was in the midst of a cultural upheaval around fiction, and suddenly in the late 80s, all sorts of like fiction novelists were becoming like the most famous entertainers in the world, I guess, because we were, I don't know, buying books and reading them on airplanes or something. Like the you would see that you would walk past a newsstand and you'd see a bunch of novels, and like Sphere was huge.
Hold on. I thought Sphere was... the novel came out in 87.
Love that book, too, by the way.
Yeah, the movie came out in 98 or something.
Book, fantastic.
I've never read. Should I read Sphere? Is that a word?
Yes.
Oh, well, you should solely read Sphere.
Okay.
Like I think of his books as so much better than his movies that I'm like, I don't even, I feel I'm going to overstate it. Like Airframe is an amazing book and Disclosure.
To a point though, right? Like there was a point at which it felt like he was just churning things out. And I'm trying to figure out where that was.
What was that Time movie we watched? The book was also just as asinine.
Time frame.
It's the one with Paul Walker in it, right?
Paul Walker, yeah. Time machine.
Oh,
time,
shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to find it. Hold on. I got a timeline. That's it. Timeline.
That's it. Yep. I read that book. I didn't make it very far. I was like,
So,
and that was 1999. So really, as long as you stay in that, like 1999 and earlier or 1998 and earlier, I'm trying to see what the last one was before that. Cause Rising Sun was great. I'm looking at a list right now. Obviously go
Jurassic
all the way back
Park,
to
Congo.
Yeah, Jurassic Park. Yeah. The Andromeda Strain. I read that before I saw the movie. And it's really, really good.
So good.
My point was going to be, I don't understand why the people making a movie like this, like it totally makes sense to me that there's this like confluence of people thinking about entertainment and trying to figure out what is going to get people to interested and go watch it. That makes sense. What I don't understand is how could all the people making this movie have not read Sphere? like it was really popular and or did they read it and just go, we're going to break all those rules. Screw it.
Sphere was super good at like the tech and science and stuff.
Yes. That,
okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's interesting.
And suspense. For the most part,
all of these things that we're talking about, except for Deep Star 6, know that underwater, you have more than just the water as an issue. You've got pressure. You've got intense cold.
The way your atmosphere
works. You got
works.
Nipples.
Yeah, nipples. All kinds of nipples. Yeah, you're not wrong on the nipple shirting. There's a lot of that.
Yeah, Deep Star 6. Don't pack a bra.
Nope.
It must be all I can assume, and it must be cold in the Deep Star 6.
Yep. Miguel Ferrer taking his shirt off. I'm like, oh, okay. Put that back on. Put that on.
Right. Take it back. I put it. We hadn't even talked about Snyder even for hardly a second. Either.
Dude, Snyder, boy. Okay. First of all, yes. So I think Miguel Ferrer is the most recognizable face in the movie. Number one. And number two. Yeah. He is a complete and horrible dick. He's horrible.
As he always is. He falls under that same thing that Matt McCoy does, just as a dick.
Yeah, you're right. He's typecast. I mean, I remember him in RoboCop is still so fresh in my mind. I always think of him in that. But he's just, it's Snyder. He's the engineer-y guy. He wears sweats the whole time and a muscle shirt.
And he has some kind of rash on his back and he's supposed to try to keep it dry. And I'm like, I want to know more.
I want to know more about his rash.
That's story building is what that is.
Yeah.
Some nice world building, but what was my point? He is like the pinnacle of everyone in this movie. Everyone's a dick to each other, but they all focus it on Snyder. Like Snyder is your focal point.
I love it's actually one of the most interesting bits of this movie is his character and how it relates to everything else, because he is incompetent. He is both cocky, but also has zero self-confidence.
Yeah.
And he's like on a razor's edge with that stuff. And as a consequence, he keeps effing up.
Oh, bad.
Bad.
Bad. And it's not bad. Even like it's one thing adds to another. He thinks he's doing the right thing because it's, the whole procedures thing. And then later it just starts to stack. He has stackable debuffs is what's happening to this poor guy.
Yeah.
And by the end where he's freaking out and they have to like pin him down and give him a shot to calm him down.
Yeah.
He, then starts to hear voices and freaks out. And maybe the best special effects are him trying to get out of the pressure too fast and his skin starts popping and bleeding and all of that. Now, his head exploding is stupid because what would happen is you would just continue to internally bleed out and you'd just turn into a
spy. The pressure would release well before your head exploded. Yeah. It would release through your ears and all the mucous membranes.
They had that right up till that second. And I was like,
Nothing was right. Absolutely nothing about that scene was right.
What I mean by that is I can park my brain and be okay with all the leaking. Whatever. It's when it exploded. I went, okay, that's a little far there, guys.
And I just want to put it out there so that we didn't not put it out there. This is not how decompression works. This is nothing like how decompression works. You can decompress at the surface. You can compress at the surface. You can compress at the bottom. You can decompress as you go from the bottom to the top. That's it. That is how it works.
Yeah. I just want to say, as an average human being, I have no idea how decompression works. I just know your head wouldn't explode. That's all I want to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's the baseline. Yeah. You're totally right. And Randy is correct about all of the other stuff.
Oh, but, I'm sure. But I'm sure there's somebody going, oh, that's not how decompression works. But you can't worry about those.
But this is what that tells me is that none of these six movies or any since have ever gotten that right. It's all wrong. Like these movies, they depend on if your ocean is part of your antagonism, right?
Yes.
And it's all about too deep, and we're down here with creatures that don't come to the surface.
Can't go up
and all
too fast. And,
yeah. Exactly. Then they have to treat it like, oh, well, don't go too fast, or you'll live, or you're going to get the bends or whatever.
It's basically like if you in a slasher movie, if you said, all right, well, you can run from the slasher who has a bad leg and a horrible limp and can't barely make it, but you're going to be slogging through the stickiest, wettest mud. So it's kind of got to be that you can get ahead of them, but just barely. That's what decompression has to be in these movies.
And you're going
to
trip two or three times, and you're going to have to pull yourself up, and someone's going to have to stop and pull you through.
But once again, the decompression actually happening to stuff was, you know, that was okay. I'll give it a pass. Whatever. I believable enough. It's a horror film. But the fact that he was literally just crawling with trying to escape. He just wanted so bad to get out of there. He's just like this. You just couldn't stop him from doing stupid
shit. It's like that dude at 30,000 feet on a real plane who freaks out, has a panic attack, and is trying to open the door, and they got to tackle him and stuff.
Maybe this is the most relatable character then, because I think we've all been exposed to that person who has irrational thinking, and this is going to get you killed. Well, but you don't hate him necessarily. You want to punch him sometimes.
I kind of agree with that. Like there's a part of his paranoia and his freak out toward the end that is relatable by, I think, just about anybody, whether you're the person freaking out on that plane or someone else does it and you're just in the back, you know, three rows going, shit, I can't do anything to do anything about this. Like that's a claustrophobic nightmare. Yeah. And I think he handled that pretty well. I mean, acting wise and all that. It's when his head exploded that I went, oh, well, okay.
Well, he couldn't control that. Right. But he's kind of, as far as the role that he has to fill in this thing, he's kind of the Michael Biehn in The Abyss kind of role. Who's a confident and competent dick who just kind of goes crazy underwater.
Why do we? That's the standard for these movies. They all have that guy, don't they?
They all have that guy.
Well, it's a space movie. Anytime you're confined to, it used to be the submarine movies. It's the space movies, and there's always that one guy that makes everything way more.
But not dangerous. Every space movie has somebody who suffers from space madness. Like every underwater movie has somebody who suffers from.
That may be true. I'm trying to think. Isn't there always space madness?
I'd like to call it a trapped in a small space movie. There's a lot of space movies where people aren't trapped and confined. Like this could be a miners in a cave scenario.
Right. I guess there's probably we'd have to find it, but there's probably a genre that's this exact thing, and it doesn't matter where you are.
TV trope or
I'm looking for a tight space movie.
A really small.
I want to just really feel like
kind of like Gravity, but the opposite.
Right.
You have something like by M. Night Shyamalan, where you're stuck in the elevator with the devil. Would you get something like that?
Yeah, there's this movie by M. Night Shyamalan where he's stuck in the elevator with the devil. You should see it. You should watch that.
It's called Devil.
Yeah, it's called Devil. Also, the thing that these guys could not stop doing, and it's what bugged me and made it feel like TV, is there's a lot of heavy sighing going on throughout most of the two-thirds of the movie. So a lot of people...
Sighing is not acting, people.
It's like going... It'd be like, oh, and then they'd go, Snyder, turn on the widget-wadget.
The widget-wadget.
Blah, blah. They were just always hemming and hawing, and I'm like, well, this is your job. You've all been here. You've done this. You know, don't...
But they always do that. That is kind of a tight space situation as well. It's like, oh, what did we sign on for? We're at the end of our 6 month stay. It's lasted longer than we thought it would. I'm itchy. I got to get out of here. Yeah. That's the reason why we're making mistakes.
Yeah. And also it felt like a disaster movie trying to be a horror movie, a creature horror movie. And it just came off as a disaster movie. Like,
Yeah.
Leaks.
I love how they kept finding ways to flood the deep star so they could get the monster in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like he's on the outside, but now he's on the inside because we flooded it. See? Oh, yeah.
What happened to Nia Peoples, by the way? Oh, go ahead, Brian.
Way better if they would have just said, all right, let's make the monster a lot smaller so he can get into the thing earlier and easier. Then you've got yourself, you make him the size of like an eel or something. And then you've got yourself a good monster movie.
Humans are amazingly fragile. It doesn't take anything larger than an eel to kill us. I mean, we literally. Little things. Yeah.
Why not? You know what? I'd be more freaked out about a little slithery thing I can barely see getting me than that giant thing.
Yeah.
I totally agree. So wait a minute. Nia Peoples, who I think is the daughter of Mario Van Peoples. Do I have that right?
I don't think so.
Tell me they're not related. Because that'd be the greatest related. Thing. No,
because isn't one Peoples and one is
Van?
People.
Yeah, Van is a different word.
Okay, right. I always thought they were related because of the Peoples.
He's a Peebles. She's a Peebles.
He's a Peeble. She's a Peeble.
Case of Peebles versus Peebles.
Right. And we would also know if she was related to anybody in particular because, oh my God, she wrote her own biography on IMDb.
Yeah, listen what she wrote. She's at the very top. At the very top, she says, FYI. I've written my own bio. To be honest, it felt more sincere than pretending like I hired some journalist to do a ton of research and come up with a non-biased presentation. Aww, so here goes. I kind of like it.
Does she think bio is an acronym for something? Because she puts it in all caps.
Yes, she does.
Yeah.
She
probably does.
She has some very interesting notions.
Yeah.
I appreciate her down-homeness. I love it.
Yeah, but down later she says, Nia's passion is empowering women and students. I don't know. It's a little high-minded to say you're doing anything.
Right. Oh, this part's even better. She's graced the screen with her talent and intelligence, her fearlessness and compassion, and her beauty. And then parentheses, why, thank you. So she thanks herself.
I want to live forever.
They did have that moment in the movie where it was just like gratuitous looking at her working out. That was weird.
Awesome because we needed that because we're like, hey, we need that strong female lead like an Alien.
Yeah, and, except you guys can correct me here, but I swear I blinked and she was dead. What happened to her? I don't know. I don't get it.
Oh, yeah. That was sad that did happen.
She tripped over a wrench and fell down the stairs, I think is what happened.
Yeah. Pretty much.
She just disappeared.
It was very unceremonious.
She's my...
grab a bucket.
She's my chick in the bucket, I think.
I worried about that because, I mean, she essentially gets eaten off screen, right? In that kind of...
They shut the door and they just can't. It's just not enough time. So they have to shut the door yet again, the door and not help whoever's on the other side.
And then she goes, and then she's gone. And so I'm like, maybe there's a part two.
Hold on, she comes back. Did she go like that?
Absolutely. She eked a lot when Matt McCoy's bottom half was getting chomped. It was bad.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Lloyd
I'm gonna
Braun.
Miss his penis.
Yeah, but as if she was cool.
His bio
with the top
is a
house.
Thing of beauty, though. It's
unbelievable.
It's a bio beauty.
It's really one of the best things I've ever seen on IMDb. If you are a fan of wacky shit on IMDb, you got to go look at the Nia Peoples biography.
Yeah. She also, I thought she was incredibly young to be in this, but I guess she'd have been, 21 or two. Very pretty young.
No, I've got her at 28 while they're filming.
Oh, 28. Okay. I'm off by like 8-10 years here. Okay. You're right. Because she's about 10. She's almost 10 years. 10. She's almost 10 years older than me, which would be that would make sense. And now that you said it, my math is now resetting. Beep. I'm good. The music was all wrong. I wrote here. It just felt like
it fit right in with the rest of this crap.
Don't know. It just
ABC
really...
movie of the week music. Sure.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Did you guys ever see that Deep Space thing that was on TV with guy from Alien and from Jaws?
No.
What was that called?
DS9 the one with from the guy from Jaws. The
DSV.
Yes, Sequest DSV.
Sequest, that's it. Yeah.
Sequest DSV. Okay, so here it is. Sequest 2032 was called.
That's a newer one.
No, this is DSV, like the original.
No, the original. Right? So the original title is Sequest DSV. The DVD release calls it 2032, which puts it in the year it's set in. But it's still it's the series that ran from 93 to 96, so 3 years.
What? Did we really need DSV added to the Sequest part? I don't think so. I understand this in the sea. Do I really need
deep sea vehicle?
Vehicle? What is that? You get out of here.
And it had that Jonathan Brandis kid in it who committed or OD'd or something. I can't remember, but he was one of the 27 club.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But anyway,
you know what though? Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say I've seen that show kind of semi recently with Tom Merritt. We did a pilot review, and this felt like that with swearing. Yeah. It's like here's a little blood and some swearing, but otherwise this is that NBC show Sequest. Enjoy.
Yeah, it totally is. And let me tell you this. You talked about that deep sea vehicle. Speaking of this deep sea vehicle, the one that Tim Conway and Amish boy were operating, it was configured like a cat, like an underwater, you know. And so I was like, okay, cool. And so the hole that they were on, or the platform they were on, was collapsing because they blew it up like a bunch of dumbasses. And so they were trying to get that big mechanical machinery out of there, and they kept backing up, acting like, oh no. And then like 5 minutes later, they detach and float away. Yeah. I'm like, it's just got a little shit. What are y'all worried about?
Yeah, that's what you get.
There were a bunch of things like that in this movie, and it just kind of left a bad taste in my mouth. The setup where I'm supposed to, very good. There's a setup where I'm supposed to really be worrying about something, and then the people sort of like just ignore it. It was what's that called? A red herring?
Oh, red herring
or a MacGuffin?
MacGuffin. Which one is it? MacGuffin. Are they the same thing? No.
MacGuffin is the sword of destiny in Crouching Tiger, right? It's crucial, or like it's an important thing, I guess, that they're focused on, right, but you never actually see it.
Right.
Okay. Right.
But I guess maybe red herring. Red herring is probably correct.
I feel like they're related, those two things.
Though. Yeah. Yeah.
A little red bit. Herring. They're buddies. I mean, they're friends.
MacGuffin is just a term that Hitchcock came up with.
Yeah. It's the rejected name of the breakfast sandwich. Yeah, there you go.
And it's what AMC Theaters calls their in-house bar.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. The AMC MacGuffin.
It is the AMC.
Is MacGuffin. It really called that?
Love it.
Yeah,
I want
the bars. The bars in AMC Theaters are named after MacGuffin, after Alfred Hitchcock.
We don't have optimized. We really don't have a big AMC presence here because there's another dominant chain that just pushed them out. But I would love to. I would love that. I love that idea. I suddenly like AMC, and I used to think they were annoying, but now I'm super into them.
I grew up, I lived the first 30 years of my life in Cinemark country.
With that cat.
I did too. Cinemark was here for a while as well.
Wasn't there a cartoon cat? You'd have to watch every movie before things got going. It was Cinemark cat.
I don't recall watching Felix the cat, but okay.
Was that Regal? There was a ripoff of Chester the Cheetah or something.
Kinda, yeah.
Oh, right.
Here he is. I found him. He's an ass.
Founded.
You founded it?
It was Cinemark, and I'm going to share him with you guys because that's what we do here. We share. And
While y'all are doing that, I'm going to talk about the captain for just a minute. Captain, when he died, that was just heartbreaking. Well, backbreaking, really. So I want to back up to something that he did earlier in the film.
You were just setting up that joke about the back bacon.
Yeah, I was. You're welcome. Okay. I had to use it. It was written down. What could I do? So the captain's son, he says his son's an artist. Do you guys like critically look at the artwork that parents show in movies and go, yeah, that wasn't done by a kid? Or like,
yes. Oh my God, every time. Every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one was like the most not done by a kid I've ever seen. Yeah. Mia Peebles did that.
Mia Peebles did it. I love that you say that it's her specifically. Right. Like, Mia, you're in charge of.
I have other talents.
Yeah. It's funny.
This is actually a trope. It's a trope in movies. It's a trope in real life. We all know you actually did that. You're passing it off as your kid's work.
Right.
When I see it on Twitter, it drives me crazy. You see 50,000 likes on something where someone says their kid wrote this funny thing, and you're like, that ain't no kid's handwriting. No 7-year-old writes like that. It's way too funny. It's way too clever.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
It would take life experience to make that joke. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm. And I might be a little bit too critical on Twitter. I don't know. There's something about it. There's like a social currency going on where people are exchanging your favor. When you see something like go really viral and it's just obviously a lie, it's just
staged. Yeah.
Yeah, I hate
Well, it sounds like you need some kind of help.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. I don't blame you.
By the way, this Cinemark photo that you put in here of the cat, horrible, by the way.
Yeah.
I love how the bad choice of font that they used makes it almost look like it says the best scat in town.
Oh my god, it does. It is, the best scat in town, not the best seat.
And then that makes me think he's holding not tickets, but turd bars.
Once your mind has been primed.
Yeah.
So
also, I don't understand the whole "here, just stop." What the hell's that mean?
You know? I thought you just wherever you found it added that.
Oh, like maybe
here, just stop. Stop making this stupid cat.
So that cat is named Front Rojo.
Oh shit!
And, I actually like him better now. Damn it!
My original moniker when I was posting movie reviews online was Front Rojo, and
really?
I identified like that because I loved to sit in the front row at movies.
And my name was Joe. So
like whatever the movie was, I would go sit in the front row and like, even if there were lots of seats.
Really? It took me, voluntarily?
I hate you so much.
All right. I'm going to throw on Randy's side here. Cause I used to do this a lot too. I don't anymore, but I used to think it was cool to like look up and have to look all the way to the right to see a thing happen.
Yeah. I almost died watching Titanic because there was no seats and I had to sit at the front. I almost died. Literally.
You almost passed away.
I almost died.
Great.
I don't know exactly when it started for me, but I was a teenager going to the movies all the time. And I went to a movie that was mostly sold out, ended up sitting in the front row. And I really enjoyed the experience of having more movie than I could possibly take in. And so I then started doing that. At some point, my prescription got to a place where I was just like, you know what? I wear glasses. I need to be sitting back. And I kept moving back as I got older. Like, through my
30s, I also liked my neck. And I'd like to keep it.
Yeah.
I don't like watching movies like a tennis match. No thanks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Just too close. I don't like looking around that
much. I don't like it now. I did like it for a bit. There was a period.
Yeah.
You know, there was a period. And it's
No one's sitting in front of me. So close to the screen.
I'm the closest to this movie ever.
It's like it's like watching a movie in a VR headset. You just got this big, huge thing.
It apparently must be something I think they have debunked the idea that sitting too close to the TV will hurt your eyes. But remember your parents used to tell you, don't sit too close to the TV. Maybe it was just because it annoys people as they get older. It's like, stop it.
Maybe.
Why are you doing that?
My dad told me it was because those CRT tubes would give you the testicle
the radiation.
That's
nice. Even better. He upped it.
Yeah, he upped it. He gave me specifics. He was like, you're going to get testicle cancer.
I don't care if I go blind.
Yeah.
Well, your balls will fall off. How about now?
I'm going to sit back. Get me on the couch. Make room. Yeah, exactly how that went. All right. What else? When's the last time a couple escaped together? I wrote, it's pretty rare. Usually it's one person.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He sacrifices everything so that she can live and she never finds anybody that can even compare
three,
to that.
Yep. Three people escaped. Get it right.
Wait, who's the third?
She had a baby in that belly.
Oh, geez.
Oh, right. Sure.
Yeah. I forgot about all about the pregnancy thing was like you're pregnant. And then that was it.
That's almost like the chicken in the bucket.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's the baby in the belly. Yeah. I'm telling you, man. There, any parent was like, "Oh, that's bullshit." You ever tried to find a baby's heart? And you don't just go. No, it's like 20 minutes of going. Yeah. 20 minutes of stressing out. Oh my God, it's dead.
Yeah, you don't just sit there in your t-shirt and have somebody poke at you and suddenly you can hear the heartbeat. That was some bullshit.
Well, there. Ferris Bueller's mom is very talented.
That's true. She just, she's real talented. She can't tell her son's a freaking mannequin. with strings on it when you pull the door shut. The baby thing was like this one-off like moment. And I was like, this is going to play into something later. It never did.
I was hoping that the monster would like eat her belly.
So our main dude, you mentioned earlier, is from BJ and the Bear. He's BJ. And I never saw a single episode of BJ and the Bear.
If you think this is a 70s show about a guy named BJ and his bear. No, it's not. It's about a guy on a truck and he's got a chimpanzee.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's named Bear.
Yes.
Right.
And it was, 78.
Neither of those things are what I thought it was.
Yeah.
Right.
No, right. I'm sorry. Yes. There are two terms Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Now you, oh my God.
Yep.
Stop
yeah.
it.
Yeah. All right. This is, so it's not porn. It's not porn.
No, nope.
It's not porn.
It's definitely not porn.
I know what all those words mean. Why?
Yeah.
Can you internet?
Claude Akins was the sheriff on there. He was Elroy P.
Yeah,
Lobo.
He was so good.
Yeah. Sheriff Lobo. He was pretty great. He died, didn't he? Hold on. Claude Akins.
So I would hope so. He was almost dead when he was on the show.
Well,
so
he died youngish, 67 in 1994. That's a little young.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, like he looked like he eats like 4 steaks a day. So I'm not surprised.
Right. And washes them down with 2 cigars.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You imagine using smoke to wash down a steak. Ugh. Yeah. Gross. But anyway, there's somebody I know is a huge fan of this, and I might be conflating this with Tom Merritt's love of that 10 Speed and Brown Shoe show.
I love BJ and the Bear.
I never saw a single episode. Never saw it.
Yeah, I wanted that truck, man. It was just, you know, it was right after the movies had really been big. You know, there'd been plenty of, you know, big truck movies. We've seen Convoy here on Film Sack. We've seen a couple of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is when it finally hit the TV, and it was just fun and lighthearted, and I really wanted that truck, and it was red with a big cool white stripe on it. And, ooh, it was just so.
Yeah, and there's a monkey.
A truck driver.
Yeah, you got a monkey.
A monkey.
Yeah.
Right.
Everyone loves a monkey.
I kept flipping between this and Grizzly Adams. I couldn't decide. It's like, no, it's a real bear. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that was another. That was another
monkey named bear.
Yeah.
Right.
There was another. That was another Glenn A. Larson joint, which, you know, Battlestar Galactica and Magnum P.I. and Knight Rider and everything. That guy made everything.
Everything.
Yeah. He was the lord of 70s and 80s TV. And
he knew how to speak to us.
And he's a Utah connection. That guy. Yeah.
Mm.
Utah. He moved to California, but yeah. Big Utah guy.
Well, anyway. That's the best scat in town.
Yeah, exactly, right? He's still getting credits. Like the new Knight Rider movie that's being made, I guess, you know, they have to credit him because he created it.
We had this discussion recently in the Tadpool community. And so, hey, how many Knight Rider series do you think there are?
Series?
Wow. I think there's two.
I thought there were two. Yeah. Is there more than
keep
two?
Keep going. Hold there's on. More than two.
Hold on. Three.
So I just looked it up. It's hard to say. Like there are plenty.
Right.
There's Knight Rider 2000, Knight Rider 2005.
Yeah. But some of these never happened, right? They were like pilots and then no series pickup and stuff like that.
Right. No. Well, one season, maybe half a season, and then gone.
The 08 one.
Team Knight Rider.
Yeah.
There's.
The 2008 one where Val Kilmer was the voice of the car, I remember that.
Yes.
Oh, right.
Yeah,
Val Kilmer did the voice. It feels like if you're doing another Knight Rider series, it's not even like, let's wait for the mid-series replacement. Your finger is hovering over the play button for whatever you're going to put on at the network in place of this, if it doesn't go well.
I think the problem with the Knight Rider idea is, on paper, you get really excited. You're like, oh, it's going to be a new Knight Rider series. Oh, I can't wait. And then you watch one episode and it's like, I could do without this.
Knight Rider's not great. It's not it's a great show in its day. We had our fun, whatever, but it fit into an era where this sort of stuff fit. I just don't know how you make this now.
Well, I mean, it's just not exciting anymore. I mean, imagining a car with a computer in it that talks to you. Oh my God. In the 80s. Now it's like,
okay,
pretty much reality.
It just hit me. Here's how you do it right. You got to get in a video game mentality though. But the game, Titanfall 2, what makes that campaign my favorite shooter campaign of all time, like I'm talking better than Half-Life, I like it better than any other shooter campaign, is because the robot that you get in and out of periodically throughout the game, has an amazing personality. But is also sort of robotic and AI-like. And they write that so well that you actually give a shit about that robot in a way that you're not supposed to. So by the end of that, you're actually kind of broken up about the future of this robot. And you need to do that to make me give a shit about a Knight Rider car. You've got to figure out a way to make that a, you know, like Bumblebee did this pretty well. It's the one good Transformer movie where you actually felt this relationship with this, you know, otherwise sort of inanimate AI alien thing and this girl. You just got to do that. And no one does it that way, or they haven't yet with Knight Rider. So if you can do that and make me actually care about the car, then we're in. I'll watch your dumb movie. Let's do it.
Well, I'm in your car.
Yeah, I'm in your car right now.
I'm in.
And that's a really unusual thing, by the way.
Right.
It's not very common that you get this, like, you get this amazing combination of voice and writing.
Yeah.
You know, because it's both of those things, right? Like Peter Dinklage in Destiny. Nathan Fillion in Destiny.
Right.
Like the writing is incredible, and you find out, oh wow, no one else can really do this the way Nathan Fillion can.
Right.
You know?
Right. No, I totally agree. Yeah. It's a little, so it's just, if you know, people ask why the Iron Giant works so well. Well, it's because they figured out a way to make that relationship matter. And it's this big robot and a kid. Well, you got to make that work, or else everything else isn't gonna work. That's the number one thing. And if you make that work, it'll become an all-time classic. Yeah. And there's lots of examples of this, like where, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a better one, but like E.T. is a good example, whatever. Like, you got to take your alien / robot / object and build in real relationship stuff. And that takes work and writing and smart acting. And if you can't do that, then you're going to end up with number 5 is alive. You know what I mean?
There's examples of movies where you just can't imagine anyone else doing it, right? Like, try to imagine someone other than Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool, and it just doesn't work. It wouldn't have been that great. It would have been a crappy small movie that nobody cared about, you know?
Yeah, which is so hilarious. Oh my gosh, I know this is an offshoot, but it hit me the other day again because I'm reading a Wolverine series right now that involves a lot of crossover with Deadpool, and it got me thinking again of just how crazy it is that you hired Ryan Reynolds to be in Wolverine Origins, and you used him while he didn't get all burned up for a little while there, but he wasn't too you know, smart talky. He was just kind of a guy there. And then when you turned him into Deadpool, they decided to seal his mouth shut, not have him say a thing.
Oh yeah.
You have Ryan Reynolds and you have Deadpool, and you know what Deadpool is.
Character known for their banter while they're
right. Their banter is everything to the character. Mm-hmm. It's everything. It's like Spider-Man without his webs. What are you even doing? And then later, you figured it all out and you made two proper movies. Well done. But I still to this day, I will never understand the thinking of Origins. I don't know what they were doing.
Right.
You actually shut up the guy.
But that's also one of the greatest tricks in movie history as well, is getting Ryan Reynolds to come back for two more Deadpool movies when their introduction was one of the things that people hated most about the Wolverine movie.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. And to have, I mean, it is a great little resurrection story, and I love that it happened at all. And there's, you know, there's opportunities for this coming up with that new Spider-Man thing if all the rumors are true about all the crossover and like multiverse stuff that's happening. And if somehow I see Andrew Garfield and freaking Tobey Maguire in a new Spider-Man movie, I'm going to shit my pants, even though I don't like those old movies. You know what I mean?
Hey, we already know we're seeing Doc Ock from the second Spider-Man movie in the upcoming one.
You know,
What if what's his name from Wings shows up as Sandman again?
Like, we hope so. That's actually some discussion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I actually like that character. Actually pretty
good. No, was the best
thing
about it.
They made you actually care about Sandman, which was really well done.
Which is hard because he's sand. How can you love a sand?
Overloaded the rest of that movie.
Yeah, yeah. He was the best thing about it. And again, there's an example of almost accidentally, they wrote the character that's based on inanimate freaking sand and made it the most emotionally resonant. Whereas everybody thought they were going to really be into the Venom thing, but the Venom thing was kind of an afterthought. Like, it's all writing. So I guess what we're saying is, I don't know how we got here, but Knight Rider.
I know how we got here. We watched Deep Star 6. Oh, that's how we got here.
And I just want to hit on both sides of the equation for Deep Star 6. It's not well written, and they don't have a single person in this movie who is elevating the material as an actor. I was you had me thinking about the voice acting in Borderlands 2 specifically. Like, you ain't never heard of Damian Clark, but he plays Handsome Jack in that game.
Yeah.
And it's like both written in incredible writing, just unbelievably funny and cocky and interesting.
Handsome Jack.
And also his acting is insane. It's just like the greatest of all time voice acting in video games.
Right.
And like Deep Star 6 has none of those happy accidents, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Miguel Ferrer comes close a couple of times, but I don't know. He's in some ways, every time I see him, I go, oh, This is a movie with Miguel Ferrer in it.
he's gonna screw things up for everybody,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah. Like that's just that feeling. And then I think about all the great voiceover stuff he did toward the end of his life, where he was doing commercial VO and some other stuff. And he has such a cool voice, and he's just such a cool guy. But it kept taking me out of the movie I'm supposed to be watching. And that, you know, I'm thinking about, oh, here he is being a dick again. But also, oh, I kind of miss Miguel Ferrer. He was great. Remember RoboCop? And I'm like, Scott, you're supposed to be watching Deep Star 6. What are you doing? You know, why am I straying so far from this movie while I watch Miguel Ferrer? And it was really throwing me off. And then when anyone else would be on screen, I was like, okay, I'm watching Deep Star 6 now. It was an odd watch for me, this movie.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Went different places in my head and didn't expect to go there.
I gave it a lot of benefit of doubt. You keep like pulling back from the movie as you're watching it and going, okay, this is not bad. This is not too bad. Like, this is okay. This is exciting. This is terrifying, right?
Yeah.
But the movie just can't commit to like how things work.
It can't commit to reality. It just can't do it.
No. And it's like, if you're gonna tell a horror story like that, maybe just go supernatural. Maybe the devil is at work down there. And then I could have some fun with it, you know?
Maybe the devil's under the water. I love that idea.
And they never really even discussed it. Is this an alien form? Is it just old? Peoples kind of talks about it. That was also the question. It's like, who are these people and why are they down here? Okay, they're trying to set up the missiles. We never really talked too much about it. What's really going on? And she seems to also be doing some research. She kind of tagged along, maybe. Could have used some backstory there. She tagged along to kind of research how people respond or how nature is down there. They never really nailed down what she was doing exactly, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it just kind of bounced around a lot down there. And I was like, I kind of would have had those questions. Is it alien? Is it prehistoric? Is it something?
Right. They never told
us. We never had a chance to really look at that.
Yeah.
What we had was multiple scenes where you know, had taxi drivers taxiing between two locations, having BJ and the bear, sometimes check off stuff in the checklist, other times not through the checklist. Yeah. And I'm like, why are we having this scene right now? Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah, it was weird. They also yanked on the now drowned and dead captain too long down in that hatch where he got
pinned in the
what a door. Dick. He made some bad decisions. Okay, he broke his back, and he's like, he's trying to get him to go on, but drowning everybody, not the best.
Right. Yeah. I love how they tug at his body for a while after he's dead. Like, maybe he's still alive. Maybe he'll make it.
Please don't take me back half drowned. My broke back. Just let me go.
Right.
Why did he open the water?
Because he wanted them to leave. That was like totally putting them in huge jeopardy.
That was the way he was getting. That's like setting the room on fire so everyone can leave. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't stay and try to save me.
Yeah. He's a pretty stoic dude. Hey, you guys, let's talk about getting better help in your lives. It's something we all want, something we all need. And you got to ask yourself sometimes, what interferes with your happiness or prevents you from achieving your goals? Well, you can find out, because BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist and connect you in a safe and private online environment. So it's very, very convenient. And you can start communicating within 24 hours to 48 hours, somewhere in that range. Under 48 for sure. That's really fast. All without having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room sifting through dirty magazines. And I don't mean dirty in that way. I mean like they're gross, right? You don't want to touch them. So yeah, who needs that? BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional online counseling, and financial aid is available. So there's really no reason you can't do that. And they offer a broad range of expertise that may not be locally available in your particular area. BetterHelp is not a crisis line or self-help line. It's a professional counseling service. And you might be thinking, hey, will they help me with areas like, I don't know, depression, anxiety, family conflicts, grief, anger, sleeping issues, self-esteem, whatever it may be, they're there for you for that. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. It's very easy to use, and everybody could use some BetterHelp. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/filmsack and join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. It's time for you to do the same. That's betterhelp.com/filmsack for 10% off your first month. Big thanks to them. How about clips? Do you guys feel like clips are in order?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God, they have to be fantastic.
I know.
How could they not be?
There's some pretty good ones in here. It's very Miguel Ferrer heavy, but you'll forgive me. Let's start with Lloyd Braun from Seinfeld here. Let's have him come in.
You know, this is about the 20th time I've read this magazine. Man, I cannot wait to read a new one.
Yeah, see a new movie.
Yeah, how about breeze and fresh air?
I'll tell you, 6 months at the bottom of the ocean, it's more than I bargained for.
National security for you.
All right, and then here's this.
That was story reveal moments that in mm-hmm. the most boring way.
Yes, oh yeah, exactly.
Ever. Yeah.
And that music was just shit that was playing behind him. Just awful.
Just imagine if we talked about the pandemic that way, like at the beginning of every episode of.
I sure miss eating at restaurants. Me too.
Me too. Yeah. 15 months of a pandemic will do that to you.
Yep. All the while this is playing. Miss going to movie theaters.
Yeah. I sure miss Love Boat.
Yeah,
I was going to say Julie McCoy is ready to give you your cabin assignments.
It's such a weird kind of music.
Here's shower pass.
Here's Lloyd Braun being actual Lloyd Braun. I just capture this for fun.
Two cream, no sugar.
What is Lloyd Braun doing here?
Your mother recommended him.
Yeah, of course she did. That's all I ever heard growing up is, why can't you be more like Lloyd Braun? You know, he was in a mental institution.
I didn't read his resume.
Another sale, Mr. Costanza. Chalk me up on the big board.
That really confused me for a minute because I didn't realize you were playing Seinfeld. And I'm like, laugh track.
Yeah, no, it's right? Actual Lloyd Braun.
I forgot there was a laugh track. I wonder if that's a part of me coming to really.
We're going to find out now. Yeah. Because didn't they just make a big announcement? Seinfeld's back on some streaming services.
Well, yeah, Netflix got it back, but it's
Netflix.
It's just them getting the. They keep passing it around. It was on Hulu for 2 years, and now it's back.
Right.
It's just them making fake hype about a thing that's an old show, and everyone's going.
Oh, can't wait to watch Seinfeld again.
Yeah, it was weird. Here's a miss. Oh, something. Here's a sexy moment.
Hey, listen, I left something you're gonna like in your video machine.
Are we talking about Miss September?
Yes, in a word, nasty.
Is it hot?
Oh, it's hot.
Is it wet?
It's wet.
Is it smooth?
It's smooth.
Is it ripe?
Yes.
Is it ripe?
Is it ripe? Was that Dunaway's intro? Or somebody's intro? Whose intro?
That was mine.
Oh, that was you.
Well, actually, both Brian and I used some of that. But is it ripe? That's
Is it ripe?
Yeah, is she over 18? Is that what he's asking?
I don't want to know. I'm gonna let it go. But that really, this
Ibbot
movie felt
made
like
it
a
worse. By
in...
the way, Ibbot made it worse somehow by saying that.
How?
I thought it meant like are you ripe? Means like,
is it fresh?
Are you ready to have? Is it? Are the eggs ready to be fertilized? Is what that says to me. Like, are you gonna?
And you're saying I made it gross. Okay, all right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Oh God. Everything in that sounded just like he would come right off Nerds or something. It was early 80s humor banter.
Who gets a monthly porn like a Miss September on videotape?
I don't know what that was about.
Why is he just now watching it? Because he's been there for 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. This guy really hoards his porn if he's just now doling out that chestnut.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim Conway, for your porn. All right, here's this is the Give Me Rent guy from Spider-Man. Here he is.
Yes, but even the smallest geological defect can cause the platform instability, and then I don't want to see a stray missile hit in some nice house in Connecticut and ruin some nice dinner.
All right, that's him. Now, here he is in Spider-Man.
Rent? Not now.
Give me rent.
You'll get your rent when you fix this damn door!
Great scene. Great scene.
Wow.
That guy, and it feels like he was in everything as just the token Russian in the 80s and 90s.
People love that guy. Here he is again.
Give me rent.
There's a really great meme going around where Tobey Maguire his face has replaced, I guess it's Captain America's face when Thanos is about to punch him in Endgame. and they have a little conversation. Right. I can't remember what they
that's
said.
Hilarious.
But they replace Thanos with the big purple face of this guy going, "Give me rent." I'll have to find it. You have to see it. It's really funny.
That's really awesome. Good. He, by the way, we've seen him in 2010, the year we made contact, played a character named Maxim Brejlovsky.
What?
Of course. Nice. Of course.
Nice. That movie, somebody told me the other day that they think that 2010 still holds up, and I know it's been a long time since we've seen it, but you think it really holds? I don't think it does. It really hold up?
I don't know.
I remember Roy Scheider.
Only one way to find out.
Scheider had really short shorts. I remember that.
Yeah.
Boy, does he play... He plays a lot of Yuris. Like, I'm looking through his character list to just see what his most frequent character name is, and Yuri comes up way more than like Victor or Sergey or
is Yuri. Sergei, what is he Ivan. In Spider-Man? What's his name in that?
Let's see here. Spider-Man. Where is it here? 3, Mad About You, Police Academy,
2007.
Oh.
Why am I not seeing anything Spider-Man? Oh, there it is. Mr. Ditkovich. Oh, right, because it was a play on Ditko, Steve Ditko.
Oh, right.
So he's Mr. Ditkovich.
Give me rent. All right. Here is a have a nice day thing.
This is Deep Star. Have a nice day.
All right, there's that. I don't know why. Okay, this doesn't... this is a weird little thing that happened in the movie. I don't know if you guys remember it.
That doesn't sound right.
Nice.
You got me every week.
Yeah. I added the fart. Here's Nia Peoples with a similar sound. No, this is just her weird thing at the end. Listen to this sound she makes.
I'm going to miss your bottom half when it's gone.
you really honed in on that missing the bottom half stuff today. I really
like that. She seemed a little overacting.
His
shower pass was in his pockets.
Yeah.
It was a little, I needed a little more reasoning.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. Amish guy and Tim Conway in the ship. This is what that sounded like.
You asshole. Sorry.
Man, there's a lot of farting in this movie.
Wow. There's so much more farting in this film than I realized.
I think part of the reason I did all that is because there's something about being trapped in a tiny little water ship.
Where you can't open a window.
My gosh. I just can't imagine having to spend that time with, a guy that looks like Tim Conway.
Which is the worst, being the person who's trying to hold it in or being the person who's exposed to it? Because your nose kind of like, after a couple of minutes, your nose will kind of go like, okay. Forget that smell. Mm-hmm. I don't care how strong it is.
Yeah. Right.
Now, you may still taste it, but your nose will stop.
Ugh.
But yeah.
Yeah, and keep in mind also, that air's got nowhere to go. It'll dissipate, mm-hmm. but the more farts they collect, pretty soon it's more fart than air.
You're just breathing. It's like drinking your own pee in the desert. Eventually,
Did they do some kind of, because wasn't there like an urban legend forever that, if you're trapped in an elevator, you could die from the amount of farts, and then they do like some kind of research. When I say they, I don't know who they
are. Sounds like a Mythbusters episode.
I'd watch that, though. I watched them polish turds on that show. There's no reason they couldn't do that elevator thing.
All right. Yeah.
Scrape out. Oh, this is just a fun line.
As soon as I scrape out my drawers.
This is all right. As you all know, and this week is homecoming around here. So we've seen a lot of teenagers outside all looking like the 80s. It's weird. The kids today, dude, they're really into the decade that Ibbot and I grew up in.
Yeah.
In high school. But anyway, the back in the day when Brian Ibbot was on his prom date, oftentimes we're too cheap to do much, so we'd just go watch a movie after, right? Like a VHS movie or something. Mm-hmm. And here's audio of you losing the remote. Okay, so here it is.
We lost the remote.
Whoops, it didn't play right.
We lost the remote. Not again.
Your girlfriend sounded like a man.
He delivered it.
She's very hoarse.
Okay. All right.
He delivered that a lot better in Riptide.
Yeah.
She's quite a smoker, that one.
Yeah, I was going to say a thing, but I'm not going to now. Moving on.
Yeah.
Don't do it. Don't
I like the
it.
Term shit kittens.
Shit kittens.
Or kittens. Shit kittens.
Shit kittens.
Shit kittens.
I like that.
I'm going to shit kittens.
I am positive I've never heard that term before.
Did Peter Quill call Rocket Raccoon that in one of the Guardians movies?
Shit kittens? I can't say it right. Shit kittens. Shit kittens. Shit kittens.
I think he says he's shitting kittens, right? He didn't say he's shit kittens.
Yeah, I just like
shit,
the.
He's going to shit.
Oh,
kittens.
He's going to shit kittens.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, that makes more sense.
I
yeah.
just like the. I like it as a as like a
shit kittens.
Ah, that place is full of shit right. kittens.
Look, yeah. you can't listen to anybody who spent the most of the 80s talking to a little orange robot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a
Riptide reference.
Yeah, nice
You're
Riptide
welcome.
Reference. Well done. Here's what? I don't know, something about faking it.
We are carried some of that transmission.
Oh yeah, from the first part of the show there.
That was the worst of
should have put a yes. should have put a trope alert on that, man. Yeah, that's in everything.
Yeah, that one's bad. Mm-hmm. All right, here's Miguel
Ferrer. Nobody does it as well as Chevy Chase, in my opinion.
Ah, true
yeah,
story.
He's pretty good at it. Miguel Ferrer doing
Wait. Yeah. What's the Chicago buddy cop movie, Billy Crystal?
Running Scared?
Running Scared.
Yeah, wasn't that trope in that movie too?
Well, he just goes, gotta go. Final Jeopardy's on. Bye.
Oh, that's
right. Yeah, he was trying to get the phone too. Just
by the way, Brian Ibbett is the one person you do want to ask that question to anytime you got a question.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right.
You're going to get an impression
everything about
every time.
It.
I can't wait for that dedicated pub trivia night. Yeah. Just Running Scared questions.
Yep. Let's hope. Let's hope. Because you will lay that place to waste that night.
Right. Exactly.
I was thinking of him the other day because my wife, for some reason, is binge watching Will and Grace, old episodes of Will and Grace. And there was a whole like two seasons where Greg, or what's his name? Who's the tap dancer?
Denny, or not Denny.
Shit. I can't think of his name. Gregory Hines. Anyway,
Gregory Hines,
he's on there for like two whole seasons or something, and I kept going, oh, hey, it's like Running Scared, and everyone in the house is like, we don't know what you're talking about, Dad.
What are you talking about, old man?
Here's Miguel Ferrer pulling a Ripley. Here you go.
Bitch.
All right, there you go. That's all.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Because that's what Ripley said in Aliens to the Mother Queen.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Here's some questions and answers.
That was a pretty stupid question. Oh, thanks for asking.
Okay, great. I don't know why I copy that. Their doors suck. All right, sci-fi complaint. Their door sounds blow. I like a sci-fi movie or a movie about underwater shit or whatever where you got big pneumatic doors or whatever. I like cool sounds for that stuff. This is not it. It's bad. Here, enjoy. I mean, what is this? Lost in Space, 1965? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this is underwater, so yeah, and it's all mechanical and not really any electrical.
Yeah. You're gonna give this a pass? Is that what you're saying? You're gonna give it a pass?
I don't know. Because I was pretty pissed at the doors anyway. Because all right. So they had an emergency release for the door with a crank and everything, and so it breaks. the hinge breaks and kills the captain. I'm like, oh come on.
Yeah, that door was meant to kill a guy. That was the goal. It was just a matter of who is it going to kill and when. Here's Miguel making a noise. All right. That's all that is. I can't remember what he... I think he just grunted. I don't remember what he was doing. Almost sounds like a sneeze. All right. Here's something you do on your picnic.
Sorry to piss on your picnic.
All right. You piss on your picnic.
Mm. Yeah. He was not sorry to piss on his picnic. Anyone says that's lying.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I'd much rather shit kittens at a picnic.
That's right.
Right.
Dunaway referenced this in his opener.
We have to be specific. The computer wants to know.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You did.
It told me.
Yeah. You can't just tell your Echo if you want to play, Hootie and the Blowfish. You have to be very
specific.
Please
be specific.
Yeah.
Pardon my ass all the way to hell.
I love that. That was like, I'm adding that to my repertoire.
Yeah.
Now, does he say I think he says pardon my ass all the way to hell.
All the way. No, yeah, it's not asshole. Just pardon my ass all the way to hell. Yeah.
But hear it. So ass all. Okay. So I.
But you can hear
asshole.
It.
I'm sticking with it.
No, you're
it's fine. You can have it.
You can hear it if you listen to it the other way. It's like if you listen to it Dunaway's way, you can almost hear it.
With cheese, good call. With
what's wrong one? Hold on.
Pardon my ass all the way to hell.
So it sounds like pardon my asshole to hell. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, I was worried about copyright. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah,
I'm doing parody.
Yeah. Very well done. 30 seconds, and then you'll be okay. All right. Here's the something with cheese.
With cheese, good call. With cheese.
Yeah, that's right. You got to get the cheese.
Oh God, that's when I realized I was like, okay, I can't take him. Yeah. I can't take him.
Was that the moment?
I think that was the breaking point. I mean, I was starting to feel it earlier, but then when that, I was like, yeah, that's it. I'm out.
Go home, Lloyd Braun. You're done.
Yeah. Done with you.
I wrote she's ripping. I don't know what this is.
She's ripping.
Oh, he just says she's ripping.
She's ripping.
She's ripping what?
I loved that.
What was the reference? I don't remember.
I don't know what it meant, but I definitely wrote it down. And I was like, she's ripping.
She's ripping.
Yeah. I should have put a fart noise there. What was I thinking?
Ripping her bra because I'm not going to wear it anymore.
Right. Yeah. Nipple shirt.
Here's BJ freaking out.
F-ing ain't nothing, hot shot.
F-ing ain't nothing. I haven't heard F and A in forever.
Yeah. It always reminds me of Office Space. The last line in Office Space.
Yeah.
Yes.
I used to say F and A a lot, but not with the whole word. I just go, oh, F and A. Like I just say
that. Yeah.
And now I think it's annoying.
You're censoring both.
Yeah, I'm censoring F and A. Yeah. I don't know why. I like it.
I don't understand why you would say the F word, but then you would censor the A.
Well, right? Like, well, because F and ass sounds dumb. And also, just the full length of F and ass. That sounds stupid. Like, A, why does A make it better? I don't know. That's weird, isn't it?
She's ripping it.
Yeah. You know what? She really is ripping it. All right, here's
I just found an article on Slate.com that tries to answer the question, why is there an A in F and A. This is really interesting. It's like this whole thing. It's got freaking Big Lebowski.
Yeah, Aliens. Hudson said it in Aliens. F and A. Yeah. He made at one point because he was impressed by what the little girl did or something.
Oh, I didn't know that. Interesting. Now that was a direct rip. Yeah. You were causing some brand confusion. Now you can't have that much in your movie.
Their conclusion is actually that F and A may have been taken from a phrase like "You're F and A number one, right?"
Oh, that's weird.
God, now that's too long.
I don't like that. No, sir, I don't. All right. Well, English, weird language.
Well, now I got to scrape out my drawers.
Yeah. Here, by the way, is the sound of when you podcast with someone who's never done it before. Okay. That's what this sound is. Enjoy. Yeah. That's when you have a guest on who doesn't realize.
Yeah. I heard Dunaway do that in his intro.
Yeah.
I'm glad you could hear really it. I was worried.
Felt really bad for whatever compact leftover keyboard you dug out of the,
actually it was my real mechanical keyboard and I almost effed up, almost F and A up because I was hitting it and I accidentally hit the shift and the control at one point in time and everything disappeared. And I'm like, I remember my notes.
You were using the active real keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
I brought up brave man.
I brought up Notepad and I was like, tuck, 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 tuck. So as long as I missed the tab and the controls, I'd be all right. Dang if I didn't hit it anyway.
That's funny. It was a good, you did good. It was good Foley. I liked it.
Well done. Yes, yeah. Good Foley.
Here's a horrible beep sound. That's just what a puss.
It's even got a little hi-hat with it.
Yeah, a little. Mm-hmm. Here's that music again, just for fun. Welcome to the boat.
Smiles, everyone.
Smiles, everyone. Yes, it's Fantasy Island.
It's so bad.
The boat.
Whose idea was that? Ugh, it's so bad. It's almost the worst thing about this movie. It could have been better with better music. All right.
It felt right at home to me. It's like, yeah, that fits. I didn't even question it. I was like, yeah, that fits.
Well done. Now this.
It's the checklist.
Film Sack checklist goes like this. If you're cold, a wet sweater will fix everything.
That just made no sense to me.
Yeah. It was
really cold? Dumb. Here's my wet sweater.
Yeah. If he had a dry one somewhere, I get it. He didn't. Yeah. That was the one he was wearing. That was real dumb.
Right. Hey, you want to feel more wet? Here you go.
Here's one. Lloyd Braun and the landlord from Spider-Man 3 go swimming. That's a check. That happened. And finally, Miguel was in those junk showing sweatpants and muscle shirts way too long. Check. That is absolutely true. Connections. There's a bunch. I'm sure we know about the Lloyd Braun one, but there's only two.
We got two. Only two. Well, there's only 11 people in this film.
Yeah.
And one people's.
So Miguel Ferrer, who you've been talking about a lot, was Snyder in Deep Star 6, and he was first officer in Star Trek 3: The Search for Spock.
Oh.
Was he a dick in that film as
didn't
well?
Didn't even get a name, just first officer?
Yeah, first officer. I scrubbed around. I couldn't find him. He was standing on the bridge, something.
Hmm.
And then, of course, we talked previously about Matt McCoy. He plays Richardson in this. And if you don't think of him as the half Betazoid space cat, Devin Noni Rawl from the TNG episode, The Price, you haven't seen that episode of TNG dozens of times. For some reason, in my experience, that episode of TNG was one of the ones that kept getting rebroadcast on the TV station that played Next Generation every night at 10:30.
Yeah.
It was weird. Like we had I guess there was back in the day, you had a person at each TV station responsible for like queuing up the reruns.
Yeah.
And sometimes that person wouldn't vary it up much, you know?
Huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way,
good time to be getting new disc out.
Didn't realize it, but he was in the Police Academy movies. One of them, 5, I think.
Oh,
yeah.
That's almost a Star Trek connection right there.
Yeah, he's doing the Star Trek hand, isn't he?
We've talked so much about Police Academy in the last couple of weeks. It's just been ridiculous.
Look at he's doing the Live Long and Prosper in that photo.
Yeah, is he demonstrating where he's going to put that thermometer? Or what's he?
This is your crotch. I'll be putting it there. I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know. That guy, we've talked a lot about Matt McCoy. Maybe it means he's had a very successful career, and we're just proving that right now.
Yeah, he's still working. He's got some things in post-production. He's recently been on, like, he was on Grey's Anatomy this year.
Yeah. So. He gets around.
How is Grey's Anatomy still going? What is this?
I don't know.
Yeah, every time somebody says that, this week on Grey's Anatomy, I'm like, what?
I know.
Yeah.
It doesn't even, it blows my mind, actually. I thought that show ended forever ago, and I'm keeping being reminded it hasn't. It's just weird.
The show gets resurrected more times than characters on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Nice.
Freaking the Grey lady's going to just, she'll be a patient in her old age on that show at some point. Right. I don't know what they're going to do. Oh, he's on that Tom Clancy thing. That's right. I liked that. The Jack Ryan series. I did see him in that. Oh. I forgot he was in that. He was on Silicon Valley? Really? All right.
Oh, really?
He's a busy boy, is what we're saying.
I forgot about that.
Masters of Sex. Did he show his ween?
Oh, God.
I'm sure he did.
Okay. That's what
it looks like
did.
That Vulcan salute he's doing in that Police Academy photo.
That is his ween. It's just got a glove
on it. It's his ween. It's just a demonstration.
Yeah.
Thing.
But boy, look how long it is and how it's attached to his shoulder.
Oh, weird. My God.
And it's got a glove on it.
Yeah. Well done. All right. We're going to move on to the soundtrack. Oh, who's the other guy? We didn't tell the other person, or did we?
Yeah, I did.
That was Miguel Ferrer and Matt McCoy.
Miguel Ferrer, duh. Yeah. Okay, yeah. No, I heard that.
First Officer Miguel Ferrer.
Let's get to the soundtrack grade. I give it a W for wrong. It's just wrong. Just doesn't fit. It's
you wronged me.
It's just for something else. Just put it in the
thing.
Give
it an F and A.
Yeah. Give me an F and A any day, is what I always say. That all rhymed. All right, time for you guys to sum this up in 280 characters or less. This is the Twitter post. Let's start with Randy.
Deep Star 6. It has women. There are as many as 3 different women in the cast of this Under the Sea Aliens ripoff. Which one of the women will be the Riptide survivor? That's up for grabs.
Nice. Up for grabs. See what you did. Also, next, we have Brian Dunaway.
Ooh, Deep Star 6, like an expired CO2 cartridge to the back. Once is enough. You ruined my nipple shirt.
Man, those nipple shirts. You enjoyed those.
Yeah, that CO2 cartridge to the back, man. I can't think of a worse way. I'm like, no, let the monster kill me. Yeah, let the monster kill me.
That was also the moment where I went, okay, Miguel Ferrer, your luck is the shittiest luck on the planet.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
He backs into your thing. Like, oh, my gosh.
No wonder the ladies don't want him.
Look how little we talked about that British guy. He sucked that bad. We didn't like him at all.
That's right.
We've barely mentioned him because he sucked. Anyway. Sucks. Let's now end this part of the show with Ibbit.
Deep Star 6, abysmal.
That was a word one genius.
Wow.
I originally had it written a lot longer, and then I decided, I don't need, like, I'll screenshot and post it in our Discord. Here's what it originally said, and it last did an audible, last second audible, and just said, abysmal.
Yeah, I think that was sometimes less is more. You did it. That was the right move.
Exactly.
Well done. Let's get to the alternate titles. They're right here. Actually, here. This is how I'll bring in my alternate titles. There we go. Got my alternate titles up. Let's see what we got here. This was almost called Going Havsies with Lloyd Braun. I'm a little obsessed with Lloyd Braun, apparently. Or Deep Shart Shits. All right.
Ouch.
Just rhymed, so I thought it was fun. Let's get to this email. A couple of them here from the fine people at home. Filmsack@gmail.com is where you send your email correspondence. This one came from Wes, who says, "Hello, Sackers. Do I have the best movie for you to sack?" He says. He starts with, "So on Amazon Prime at the time of writing this email is a movie called Tiptoes, a 2003 rom-com with dwarves And one of those dwarves is Gary Oldman, who spends the entire movie on his knees. I'm not kidding. It's just distracting, and you can't unsee it. It's a movie made for the sack. Have a great week.
How in the hell
right?
did the person writing this email not say Matthew McConaughey? Matthew McConaughey.
Oh, is he that?
Come on. Learn how to sell these things.
Wow.
Kate Beckinsale, Patricia Arquette, and Peter Dinklage.
What is this?
Oh, my God. Is Peter Dinklage on his knees as well? This will make me happy.
What a weird... What is this? This exists? I can't believe this exists.
I don't remember this at all.
Oh my gosh.
I gotta watch the trailer as soon as we're done here, because
Ed Gale, David Alan Greer. weird. This is a weird one. Okay, I'm in. Let's watch it.
I'm in.
Yeah. I want to see Gary Oldman on his knees.
Yeah.
What a weird thing. That's incredible. It's got a terrible review. IMDb's it's at like 4.3 out of 10 or something. There's a reason we've never heard of this, but
is it intentional comedy or is it?
I don't know.
Wow. I am perplexed.
Yeah. Never even heard of it. Matthew Bright is the director. Do I know him from something? His IMDb photo's awesome. he wrote Ted Bundy. Not the guy, but the show based or the movie based after him. Something called The Forbidden
That Zone. Is a fantastic IMDb photo. Now, it says he's known for Forbidden Zone 1980. Oh, he was a writer. So that's the Oingo Boingo movie that, you know, basically directed by Danny Elfman's brother, Richard Elfman. So he must be, like Squeeze It or something in that.
I wonder if he's an actor, if Stevie's in it.
He played Squeeze It in Forbidden Zone.
Weird. He stopped making movies in 04, so still around, just not doing anything. All right. Well, what a strange thing. Why is he even allowed to direct a movie with all those people in it?
Yeah.
Weird.
I will watch David Alan Greer in anything. And this reminds me, folks, if you haven't seen The Carmichael Show, it is streaming on Hulu. They're all three seasons. Short-lived, very, very good sitcom. I highly recommend The Carmichael Show.
Okay.
And David Alan Greer is amazing.
I like David Alan Greer. Mm. I like him a lot.
I wonder, I played a few seconds of that trailer. I wonder if you guys were hearing the trailer.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, is that what we were hearing?
Really?
Yeah. Oh, maybe weird. Maybe you're piped in or something. You got your loop back going on. Get that pipe in there. All right. We'll consider it there, Wes. Wes, another Wes wrote in. I don't think this is the same Wes, different name. Anyway, hi, Sackers. Don't have any movies to sack. Just want to say thank you for making me laugh and love watching bad movies. I've been listening to you guys since I was like 12 or 13 now, and I'm still listening while working. Again, thanks for being there, Wes. Well, thank you, other Wes. That was a really nice thing to say.
Yeah, very glad you grew up.
Yeah, glad you got to grow up with us. Hope we didn't unduly influence you in one negative direction or another. I hope we were a good influence.
Hope it happens to the four of us at some point.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I hope. So there you go. That's your emails. Filmsack@gmail.com is that email address. Keep those coming. We love them. And our next film will be The Legend of Zorro. Now, some of you at home are going, wait, you already did Zorro. And we're like, no, we didn't do. We did Zorro 1, but we haven't done the sequel.
So that's right. We watched The Mask of Zorro. Yeah. And believe it or not, that was like 21 months ago. It was a lot longer ago than you might remember, because time has no meaning anymore. But that was The Mask of Zorro. We're going to watch The Legend of Zorro.
Yeah. So nice. Banderas and what's her name and all those people are back. But
Zeta Jones.
Yeah. Catherine Zeta Jones. And then, but other than that, the rumor is, or what I've always heard about this movie I never saw, is that it's the weird one. That it's kind of crazy and over the top and like kind of violent and strange and I'm very curious about.
So like when you say weird, do you mean like Wild Wild West weird?
I don't know if quite that weird, but like the first one was much more grounded in like, hey, remember Zorro, swashbuckly kind of, this is a throwback to that and it very much feels like one of those. And then this felt more like, I don't know, somebody like Tarantino decided to do it, or it's just got like a weird edge to it that may not even have been intended. And so it's like a little more, I don't know, not violence, not the word, but like a more edgy take on Zorro. And it didn't work with audiences because they weren't expecting it. But if you look at it now, you might like it more than the first one. So I don't know.
By the way, it's now been 9 years since we sacked Wild Wild West. What? And that movie has really stuck with me. Like I don't remember much of most film sack movies, but for some reason, Wild Wild West, you know, with the chick in a bucket and everything, like it just really stuck.
What that tells me. Oh, weird. Okay. So that movie came out in 1999, which means we watched it 10 years after it came out in 2009.
Yeah, a little more. We watched it in 2012.
Oh. Okay. Oh, it's really been... Oh, my gosh. Never mind then. My math's even worse. I don't want to think about it. It's been a long time since Wild Wild West came out, is what I'm saying. Yep. Real quick before we go, did everybody see the Matrix 4 trailer? And are we all as excited as I am? Because I'm pretty excited. I think it looks cool.
I didn't see it online. I saw it in the theaters for the first time before Shang-Chi. And... boy, I forgot what it's like to see a trailer for the first time in a theater.
Yeah. I'll bet that was a cool way to see it, though.
Really cool. Yeah, and it really got me excited for it.
Yeah. I think it's weird that I'm as excited about a thing that ended so poorly for me in the first place with those other two sequels. I know some people love them, but they're just not mine. Not my
kind of thing. Will you watch Reloaded and... rehashed before...
Revolutions
before...
I feel like we ought to do a 3B here. I think we ought to watch all three and spread them out.
Maybe we should skip the first one and just watch 2 and 3, because like the problem with 2 and 3 is that the first one is so freaking good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's actually, yes, I think I agree with that. Like, unlike Aliens.
I still might have to watch 1 before we do it, though, but I'll just do that on my own.
Do it for fun. I've seen it 100 million times, that first one. The second one I've only seen once of each. And so...
Yep.
Perfect. Same. Let's get them in before December when that thing hits. It'll be coming to HBO Max and theaters sometime Christmas week, I think. Anyway, I'm more excited than I think I should be. Anyway, that's it for us. Filmsack.com is our website. Keep those emails coming at filmsack@gmail.com. And as always, you can find us on Twitter at Filmsack. And if you get your shows on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or maybe over there at Google Podcasts, wherever you get them, leave us reviews in those places because it helps us get discovered and move up the rankings in the film category. That would be very cool of all of you to do that. So head on over there and take care of that, will you? Gosh dang it. All right, that's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
He's already dead.
We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.